Bismillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Tibbin qulubi wa dawaiha wa afiyat al-abdani wa shifaiha wa nur al-abasari wa diyaiha wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. We're here in the last 10 nights of this blessed month. May Allah make us from those who witness the night of decree or the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Power would probably be better than decree, but anyways. May Allah help us to witness it, inshallah, and benefit from it. So we're going to start with Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah be pleased with him, Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. What Omar said about him, this will come later. He said, "Haqqun ala kulli Muslim an yuqabbila ra'sa Abdullah ibn Hudhafa wa ana abda'u bidhalik." Umar ibn Khattab said, "It is due upon every Muslim that they kiss the head of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, and I'm the one who will do it first." So what's the story? It's going to lead up to that. Okay, we talked about this one actually. I told you some of this one in a previous session, but out of completion, inshallah, we'll do the story. Okay, so there's of course many great people in history, many great powerful people, stuff like this, and people who came into contact with powerful people. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa is part of what's special about his story is that he came into direct contact with two of the major rulers of his time. So who the two major rulers that he came up with are Kisra, the ruler of Persia, and Qaisar, the ruler of Byzantium, or basically what the Roman Empire came into, Byzantines. So he ran up against both of these major people. So what is it that happened? And he had major stance with each of them. So this starts with in the sixth year after the Hijra, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decides that he wants to send letters to different rulers. Okay, so now they're in Medina. They've stabilized a little bit in Medina. Obviously, there's still battles. There's a lot of things going on. But he decides, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to send letters to different rulers. We're going to invite them to Islam. You know. So we're going to send a letter to the ruler of Egypt, to the ruler of Persia, to the ruler of, you know, the Byzantine Empire. We're going to send letters to the rulers of the Arabs, even like any kings that are over the Arabs, which we might get to if we have time, which I mentioned last night. and, you know, I'm going to send letters to all these people, basically telling them, accept Islam. So really, you know, the letter starts, it'll say, Salamun ala man taba al-huda, salam to the one who follows guidance. And then the letters will say things like Eslam Teslam, which means submit to Islam, you will be safe. Or submit to Islam, everything will be good for you, basically. And you can imagine, like the Muslims were like this community of people. The Arabs were respected, you know, because they had like a strength to them. They were respected because they had a little bit of wildness to them, you know, like it was known that these people don't need a whole lot. They're very strong. They're ready to go to battle at any time. They're, you know, there's some respect to them, but it's not like they weren't the big civilization. They weren't the Persian Empire. They weren't the Roman Empire. They weren't Egypt. They weren't India. They weren't these, you know, these standing civilizations that even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are civilizations that were very large and you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going from being beleaguered in Mecca, so to speak, comes to Medina. Gain some level of independence. And now he starts sending these letters to people. And he decides that he wants to send these letters. And he needs, of course, companions who are going to take on the task of delivering these letters. And I think it's important that we realize and recognize that this is a very dangerous task. Right? Like, these are people, they're not the kind of people that if you upset them, they just let it go. You know what I mean? Like, it's very common. You have a messenger, you send the messenger to the king to deliver the message, the messenger gets killed. Like, it's not so uncommon of a thing, right? And the message that they're delivering to the messenger also, or to the king, is also going to be one that's probably not going to make them happy. So there's a high level of danger in this task, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he understood that this is a dangerous task because he knows what they're going to. Not only are they going into this environment, they're also going to places they don't speak the language. You know, so Arabs, they lived in the desert, they don't speak the languages of these places, but they have to carry out this mission. So he chooses different people who are going to go on these tasks. And one of the people who was going on this task was Abdullah bin Hudhafa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went in front of the people, he gathered them. لِذَا جَمَعَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَصْحَابَهُ وَقَامَ فِيهِمْ خَطِيبًا فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ وَتَشَهَّدَ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَمَّا بَعْدَ فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَبْعَثَ بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى مُلُوكِ الْعَاجِمِ فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا عَلَيَّ كَمَا اخْتَلَفَتْ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, listen, praises, gathers the people, praises Allah, sends salat. Then he says, I want to send messengers to the foreign kings, kings, non-Arab kings. So don't differ with me the way that people differed with Sayyidina Isa. Okay? Basically, like, are you with me? And this is, I understand what I'm doing. You understand how dangerous this is. So we all understand what the situation is. Are you guys up to it or are you not? Basically, as the Prophet ﷺ is very, you know, it's a people were very strong, subhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قالوا نحن يا رسول الله نؤدي عنك ما تريد فبعثنا حيث شئت. So they say, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to take care of whatever it is you want from us. So send us wherever you want. They said, we're up to the task. You know, whatever it is you want from us, you just send us there, and we're going to handle it. So amongst these, many different, again, people were given this role to take this people. From among them was Abdullah bin Hudhafa as-Sahmi. Abdullah bin Hudhafa as-Sahmi. فَقَدْ اُخْتِيرَ لِحَمْلِ رِسَالَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى كِسْرَى مَلِكِ الْفُرْسِ. So Abdullah bin Hudhafa was given the task to take the message of the Prophet ﷺ to the ruler of Persia. So he got his things ready. He said goodbye to his wife, to his children. And he went about what he needed to do. He got ready for his journey and he went about on his journey. When he got to the lands of Persia and then he reached the palace, then he sought permission to enter into the presence of the ruler. Basically they realize that this is something unique. Like, who is this guy? It came out of nowhere. By the way, they didn't like dress up for the occasion or something. It says that he goes on this journey, he comes, he's standing in front of the ruler, and he's wearing like what the Arabs would wear, which is like a couple pieces of cloth. Just kind of like rolled in, you know, in front of the king of Persia. So they realize like something's going on here. So the Persian king allows him to come in. And he prepared the setting, and he called the other like notables of the Persian kingdom, and he told all of them to come. And then after he created like this big spectacle, right? So the king realized something's going on, so he creates this big spectacle, then he tells them, let him come in. ثم أذن لي عبد الله بن حذافة بالدخول عليه. Then he let him come in. When he comes in, he says, مشتملا شملته الرقيقة مرتديا عباءته الصفيقة عليه بساطة الأعراب. So he said he comes in now, he's just wearing his very simple clothes in the simple way of the Arab. You know, this is the way that they were. They were very simple people. I think in American society, sometimes we, especially now, we live in like a very confused time, you know, where there's too much smoke and mirrors. But then you don't realize, you know, but actually, if we even were to look at our own, you meet people, someone, this happened recently, subhanAllah, I'm trying to remember what it was. But anyways, even especially in California, you see it. You have people in California. You have people that are like multi millionaires, and they walk around like they just got out of the shower or something. You know, I their clothes, they got like a t-shirt on, and there's nothing wrong with t-shirts. I'm just saying, like, you know, in old times, it was like people in positions, they wear certain things, right? And in California, you have that. People are just like, they're alhamdulillah, very easygoing, humble, simple to the ground, and they're doing big things. It's really nice, mashallah. But they were surprised by this. He comes in. لَكِنَّهُ كَانَ عَالِيًا هَامًا. So, but he was actually, his head was raised high, you know. He comes in this way, but he has this honor to him. There's examples of this every now and then, you see them, subhanAllah. I felt like we saw this with some of the people that when we visited West Africa, we saw this a little bit. Like, you might find people who, materially speaking, their circumstances are very limited. But you see the person and you feel like a little bit of awe. Like, subhanAllah, there's something. Like, look at the way this person carries himself. Look how they are. And there's no like arrogance to it. It's just there's a strength to the disposition and to the composition of the person. So he comes in, he's strong like this. And he starts to, Izzatul Islam, upon him is Izzatul Islam. Kibriya'un Iman, you know. Doesn't matter, he has the strength of Islam in his heart. He has the strength of Iman in his heart. So he doesn't mind, he's going to go in and do this. So when Kisra, the ruler of Persia, sees him, you know, he signals to one of his people to take, okay, whatever this man brought, just take it from him and bring it to me. فَقَالَ لَا So he said no. His companion, Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, when the guy comes, imagine he comes into the scene, it's probably like a really big room, all this stuff is out, he has the letter. He tells him, go ahead and get it for me. He's not going to like let him, it's not normal, you don't bring it to the king yourself. Someone goes and does that for you, right? So, which by the way, we have to be careful sometimes. We have to draw a balance between having adab and not making our people into kings, you know. The Prophet ﷺ was very easygoing with people. And the Sahaba were like that too, even when they ruled. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, you know the famous story that the man came to Medina, from outside Medina, he was looking for the ruler of the Muslims. And they said, yeah, he's over there. And he pointed to Umar, and Umar is like laying under a tree, taking a nap. No security, nothing. He's just taking a nap under the tree, you know. So the guy said, you acted with justice, and you treated the people with justice, so you're able to take your nap with ease. You know, subhanAllah, this is like very foreign to them. But so he tells him, give me the thing. So the Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Hudhaf, he says, that إِنَّمَا أَمْرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ أَدْفَعَهُ لَكَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ وَأَنَا لَا أُخَالِفُ أَمْرًا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. It's this statement. He said, no. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he commanded me to put this from my hand into your hand, and I'm not the one to disobey the command of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's not me. You know, I'm not him. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be the one that does that, right? فَقَالَ كِسْرَ لِرِجَالِهِ أُتْرُكُوهُ يَدْنُو مِنِّي فَدَنَا مِنْ كِسْرَ حَتَّى نَاوَلَهُ الْكِتَابَ بِيَدْهِ. So Kisra told his guys, he's like, okay, let him come. So he takes it from his hand. Then Kisra calls someone who can read Arabic, right, to translate to him what is being in this letter. So he reads the letter. فَإِذَا فِيهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ من محمد رسول الله إلى كسرى عظيم فارس سلام على من اتبع الهدى. So he says, he starts to read the letter. The letter says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, from Muhammad, the Messenger of God, to Kisra, the ruler of the Persians. Salam, peace upon the one who follows guidance. فما إن سمع كسرى من الرسالة هذا المقدار حتى اشتعلت الغضب في صدره نار الغضب في صدره فأحمر وجهه وانتفخت أوداجه لأن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بدأ بنفسه فجذب الرسالة من يد كاتبه وجعل يمزقها دون أن يعلم ما فيها وهو يصيح أيكتب لي بهذا وهو عبدي. So listen to this ruler, what does he do? He hears this, he grabs the letter, he starts to rip it up. And he's inflamed with anger. His face gets red, his veins start to bulge out, he gets really angry. He takes the letter and he rips it up. And what is he mad about? He's mad because when he addressed the letter, the Prophet said his own name first instead of saying the ruler's name first. Like the protocol around all of these things. When he addressed the letter, he said his own name first before he said my name. He ripped it up. He said, who is this person to address me like this? And he's my slave. He's my slave. How can he say this to me? And these things are not like, you know, it sounds like a far off tale. Then he kicked Abdullah ibn Hudhafa out. Kicked him out. It sounds like a far off tale, but it's not actually. You know, up to today, many people feel like this. They say, who are these Muslims to say anything to us? We own them. We dominated them. We conquered their countries. We control their resources. They speak our language. They do this, this, this. Who are they to speak to us like this? Who are they to stand up to us like this? You know, who are the people of Gaza to stand out in front of the entire world and hold their position? Who are they to do that? You know. But why? Because izzat al-Islam is in their hearts. So Abdullah is taken out of this gathering. He says, وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي خَرَجَ عَبْدُ بْنْ حُذَافَ مِنْ مَجْلِسِ كِسْرَى وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَيُقْتَلُ أَمْ يُتْرَكْ حُرًّا تَضِيقًا لَكِنُّهُ مَا لَبَثَ إِنْ قَالْ وَاللَّهِ مَا أُبَالِي عَلَى أَيِّ حَالٍ أَكُونُ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَدَّيْتُ كِتَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَكِبَ رَاحِلَتَهُ وَانْطَلَقَ. He said he got kicked out of the palace. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be killed? Am I going to be left to leave? I don't know what the situation is, right? He says, then he said to himself, I don't care. I don't care what happens to me. I delivered the message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm good. So he got on his animal and he left. He went back to Arabia. They're surprised, of course, like, they just assume you got kicked out of the gathering of the king. You're just going to wait until you can get back into the gathering of the king, right? That's what they assume. He's like, oh, I'm good. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm leaving. He left. وَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَنْ كِسْرَ عَنْ غَدَبْ أَمْرَ بِأَنْ يُدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ يُجَدْ فَالْتَمَسُوهُ فَلَمْ يَقِفُوا لَهُ عَلَىٰ أَثَرٍ فَطَلَبُوهُ فِي الطَّرِيقِ إِلَىٰ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ فَوَجَدُوهُ قَدْ سَبَقْ. When his anger calmed down, he was like, wait a second. Go get that guy again. You know, where is he? They went to find him. They couldn't find him. So they tried to follow the route to Arabia. They realized that he's gone back to Arabia. They couldn't get to him. He's already gone. And when Abdullah came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him what happened and how Kisra ripped up the letter that was sent to him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَمَا زَادَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ قَالْ مَزَّقُ اللَّهُ مُنْكَ. That's it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have anything to say about it except, may Allah rip up his kingdom. That's it. So all there is to be said. You know, sometimes people act like there was no time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something that he prayed against people. He did pray against people sometimes. Yes, it wasn't like standard protocol. It wasn't like every day he was getting up and praying against people and like giving sermons and praying against people and stuff. No, that wasn't the way it was. But he did actually pray against people sometimes. He said, مَزَّقَ اللَّهُ مُنْكَ. May Allah destroy his kingdom. So then what happened? Kisra, what happened? When Kisra realized what's happening, he sent a letter to someone who's named Badan. Badan. Badan was a ruler that was under allegiance to the Persian Empire, but he was ruling over the area of Yemen. If I'm not mistaken, where is that in now? About the Badan, which is the man here to be Jali, is the family, is the family, is the family. Sorry, let me just read this real quick. فَأَمَّا كِسْرَ فَقِدْ كَتَبَ إِلَى بَادَانَ نَائِبِهُ. Yeah, okay. So he wrote a letter to Badan, who was his governor over Yemen. He told him, listen, get two of your strongest men and send them to Muhammad and tell him, give him the letter that he is to report to Kisra right away. Okay? He says, send your ambassador. Right? He didn't even say send your ambassador. You come yourself. Like imagine if someone like sends to another country, Not even send your ambassador. Send your president right away. As soon as he gets the letter, your president needs to show up in front of me. So he sends this to Yemen. Why would he send it to Yemen? Because Yemen, they speak Arabic, right? So he's like, send the letter to him. You guys send two people to Medina to tell Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he needs to come. So they come. They go to. So these two people are told then go to Medina and pay attention to things, get some information and so on. So they went on their journey. They go to, eventually in their journey, they reach Ta'if. Don't worry, it's just a box of toys. That's kids do that, by the way. It's a standard kid move. I don't know how, somehow it's in the heart of every child. If they see a box full of toys, they play for a little bit, and then they have to take the thing and dump the whole thing. There's something about it, subhanAllah. There's probably some hikmah there. If we sat with it long enough, not in the last hour before iftar, we could probably figure out, like, there's probably some really profound lesson in that. It's like tahliya before tahliya or something. Like, you have to empty the vessel out before you can fill it. So before they could enjoy it, they have to empty out all of the stuff. They have to take an assessment of the lay of the land. Yaqifa, subhanAllah. Just as we were saying that the two messengers were sent to Medina, and they were told, pay attention to the things and get the news of what's going on with Muhammad and his people and stuff. So this is what the kids, they dump the thing, they get the news. So he gets to, they get to Ta'if. They get to Ta'if. فَوَجَدَ رِجَالٍ تُجَارٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ فَسَأَلَاهُمْ عَنْ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَقَالُوا هُوَ فِي يَثْرِبٍ ثُمَّ مَدَى التُّجَارِ لَمَكَّةَ فَرِحِينَ مُسْتَبْشِرِينَ وَجَعَلُوا يُهَنِّئُونَ قُرَيْشَ وَيَقُولُونَ قَرُّوا عَيْنًا فَإِنَّ كِسْرَى تَصَدَّى لِمُحَمَّدٍ وَكَفَاكُمْ شَرًّا. So they get to Ta'if and they meet some Quraysh traders. So they ask these Quraysh traders about Muhammad. So they tell them he's in Yathrib. He's in this city that we call Yathrib. It's Medina. I don't know why. Here's the solution. Alhamdulillah. There we go. So they tell them, go to Yathrib and get the solution. The Quraysh people, then they went back to Mecca. They're excited. They told everyone in Quraysh and Mecca, they're like, listen, have the good news. Kisra, he's going to take care of Muhammad for you. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Good news. Everything's good. Have the glad tidings. So then they go to Medina. Sorry, they go to Medina. They get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They deliver to him the message from Badan, and they say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna malik al-muluk Kisra kataba ila malikikum malikina Badan an yab'atha ilayka man yatihi bik, wa qad ataynaka litantaliq ma'ana ilayhi fa'in ajabtana." كَلَّمْنَا كِسْرَى بِمَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَيَكُفُ أَذَاهُ عَنْكَ وَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ فَهُوَ مَنْ قَدْ عَلِمْتَ سَطْوَتَهُ وَبَطْشَهُ وَقُدْرَتَهُ عَلَىٰ إِهْلَاكِكَ وَإِهْلَاكِ قَوْمِكَ. So look at this is like a serious message, right? Serious situation. They get to the Prophet ﷺ, they give him the letter. They say, listen, the king of all kings, which is the king of Persia, king of all kings, he sent a letter to our king. And in the letter he says that you have to come to him and you have to go with us to him. So if you come easily, then we'll put in a good word for you, basically. They say, if you come easily, we'll put in a good word for you. But if you don't, then you already know like how powerful this man is and what he'll do to you. Okay? So they say this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? فَتَبَسَّمَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَقَالَ لَهُمَا إِرْجِعَا إِلَى رِحَالِكُمَا الْيَوْمَ وَأْتِيَا غَدًا. So he smiles at them. He gets this message. He smiles at them. He tells them, go back to your riding animals, like basically to your stuff. Go back to your stuff and come back tomorrow. So if you're these guys, what do you think that means? What do you think that means? It means come back tomorrow and I'm going to go with you, right? Like I'm going to prepare my stuff, I'm going to go with you tomorrow. So they, فَلَمَّا غَدَوْا عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْيَوْمِ التَّالِي قَالَ لَهُ هل أعددت نفسك للمضي معنا إلى لقاء كسرى؟ He said, have you prepared yourself to go with us to meet Kisra? فقال لهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لن تلقيا كسرى بعد اليوم فلقد قتله الله حيث سلط عليه ابنه شيروي في ليلة كذا من شهر كذا. So they come back, they're like, you ready to go? The Prophet says, you're not going to meet Kisra again. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him when he gave his son power over him, and he killed him. On this night, in this month, in this place. So they're like, what? What is this? So they're like, shocked in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to him, do you know what you're saying? This is what you want us to take back to Badan? Like this is, you understand what you're doing? This is what we're supposed to take back to Badan, the ruler in Yemen, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam, وَقُولَا لَهُ إِنَّ دِينِي سَيَبْلُغُ مَا وَصَلَ إِلَيْهِ مُلْكُ كِسْرَى وَإِنَّكَ إِنْ أَسْلَمْتَ أَعْطَيْتُكَ مَا تَحْتَ يَدَيْكَ وَمَلَّكْتُكَ عَلَى قَوْمِكَ. So this is, now look at the strategy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, yes, take that back to him and tell him that my deen, the deen of Islam, is going to reach all the way to the lands of Kisra. And if you accept Islam, I'll put you in charge of your people and keep you in charge of your people. Saying this to Badan, okay, in Yemen. So there's like some strategy going on here. Saying, listen, this also go back to him, tell him, we're going to eventually rule Persia. So forget about Kisra, okay? You have to worry about me, basically. And if you accept Islam and you submit to us, then we'll keep you in charge of your people. He probably knows there's some good in him, stuff like this, right? So these people, they leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing more they can do in the end. Like even if they're the two strongest guys, they're the two most reliable guys, they came to Medina, right? Who's in Medina? Like more than two very strong, reliable guys. So this is the extent of what they can do. So they go back to Yemen. They take this message to Badan. Badan hears this. He's very smart, you know. This person, he says what? He says, فَقَالْ لَإِنْ كَانَ مَا قَالَهُ مُحَمَّدْ حَقًّا فَهُوَ نَبِيٌّ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ فَسَنَرَى فِيهِ رَأْيًا. He says, if what he said is true, then he's actually a prophet. And if it's not true, then we'll deal with the situation when it comes. Very, you know, like, if it's not true, it doesn't really matter. We did what we were supposed to do. We'll deal with it when it happens. You know, we'll see what happens. But if it is true, then he is a prophet. Right? So it's a very smart position that Badan takes. So not very much time passed before the letter from Shirawe, the one who killed Kisra, Shirawe, the letter from him reaches Badan and it says, I killed Kisra and I only killed him because he was basically not doing right by our people and stealing the money of the people who are in power and taking advantage of people and stuff like this. He says, so if my letter comes to you, then pledge your allegiance to me. Shirawe is saying this to Badan. Okay? فَمَا إِنْ قَرَى بَادَانْ كِتَابُ شِيرَوَيْ حَتَّى تَرَحَهُ جَانِبًا وَأَعْلَنَ دُخُولُهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَسْلَمَ مَنْ كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنَ الْفُرْسِ فِي بِلَادٍ يَمِنْ. So he said, as soon as he got the letter, he threw it to the side and he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And all the people who were in charge with him, they all became Muslims. Because like, it's clear, you know, the situation is clear. Then this story, of course, was like a big story and this thing happened. And Abdullah ibn Hudhafa became known for this. This is the story of him going to Kisra. You know, this is the position he took. So what about the next story? He had another story, right? He had a story with Caesar too. Caesar, they use Qaisar. I don't know if that's how they use it in English or not, but Qaisar is like the generic term for the ruler of the Byzantines. You know, like Pharaoh is the generic term for the ruler of Egypt. So basically in the time, now time has passed, we're now in the era of the rule of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab's rule. So what happened is that in the 19th year after Hijra, Umar ibn Khattab sent an army to fight the Byzantines. And in that army was Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. And Qaisar, of course, is the ruler of the people that they're going up against. And he started to receive, he had intel, basically, that listen, these Muslims that you're going to fight, they're a different people. You know, they're different. They don't function the same way that everyone else functions. They have a rule, they have a love for their people, they have a love for their prophet, they have a love for their message. Like, they don't do things the way that everyone else does things. So he's like, okay, as a smart ruler, he wants to understand this, right? And get information about it and stuff. So he told them, he told his armies, he told them, if you, when you go to battle with the Muslims, so when you go to battle with the Muslims and you get, if you're able to take people as captives, hold on to them. Because I want to talk to these people, right? If you're able to take some people as captives, hold on to them. And from the people that end up being taken captive is Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. SubhanAllah. Out of all the people to get taken was this Sahabi who's taken now as captive. And he comes in front of, so that they bring him to Qaisar. When they bring him, they tell him, إِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدِ السَّابِقِينَ إِلَى دِينِهِ قَدْ وَقَعَ أَسِيرًا فِي أَيْدِينَا فَأَتَيْنَاكَ بِهِ. So they come to him, they say, listen, this is one of the early companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've taken him captive, so we brought him to you. So this Qaisar, should I just call him Caesar? I don't know if that's accurate in English.
It's accurate.
It's accurate? Okay. So Caesar says, he looks at this man for a long time. He's looking at Abdullah, he's looking at him, and then he says, I'm going to make an offer to you. So Abdullah says, what's that? And he says, leave what you're upon and become a Christian. If you do it, I'll let you go. And I'll take care of you. Right? So he looks at him for a while, and this is his judgment. He says, he makes this offer to him. And you know, I mean, this is not the easiest situation to be in, right? So what does Abdullah say? He says, "Hey, hat, innal mawta la ahabbu ilayya alfa marra mimma tad'unani ilay." He says, basically, get out of here. Death is more beloved to me 1,000 times than what you're calling me to. So he's like, what? So Caesar's like, okay. Says Caesar says, "Inni la araka rajulan shahman." فَإِنْ أَجَبْتَنِي إِلَى مَا أَعْرِضُهُ عَلَيْكَ أَشْرَكْتُكَ فِي أَمْرِي وَقَاسَمْتُكَ سُلْطَانِي. Because they're used to dealing with all kinds of different people, right? They know, like, so he hears this response, he says to them, okay, I see. I see that you're someone who has, like, basically some strength to you. So here's what I'll do. You accept what I'm offering you, and I'll share you in my rule. Like, I'll make you, not only will I set you free and I'll take care of you, I'll make you, like, one of my guys. You know, you'll be close with me, you'll be really taken care of. And I'll split, he says, even I'll split my rule with you. Like, we'll share in this whole thing together. فَتَبَسَّمَ الْأَصِيرُ الْمُكَبَّنُ بِقُيُودِهِ. You know, so he smiled, this man who's taken captive, and he's chained up. He's literally in chains, standing in front of Caesar. And he smiles. And he says, "Wallahi, لو أعطيتني جميع ما تملك وجميع ما ملكته العرب على أن أرجع على عن دين محمد طرفة عين ما فعلت." He smiles and he says, "If you were to give me everything that's in your dominion, everything that you have, and you were to give me everything that's in the dominion of the Arabs, I would, and on the request that I leave this religion, I wouldn't leave it for a blink of an eye." It's not happening, you know. So then he says, okay, then أقتلك. He says, okay, then I'm going to kill you. So Abdullah says to him, أنت وما تريد. أنت وما تريد. He says, do whatever you want. He says, I'm going to kill you. He says, okay, do whatever you want. I don't care, you know. ثم أمر به فصلب وقال لقناصيته بالرومية ارموه قريبا من يديه وهو يعرض عليه ان التنصر فابى فقال أرموه قريبا من رجليه وهو يعرض عليه مفارقة دينه فأبى. عند ذلك أمرهم أن يكفوا عنه وطلب إليهم أن ينزلوه عن خشبة الصلب ثم دعا بقدر. Okay, so what happened? So basically, he says, okay, fine, I'm going to kill you. So they bring the cross to crucify him, right? They put him on the cross. Caesar tells his people, he says, listen, put him on the cross and like strike near his hands and offer him Islam. I mean, offer him to become a Christian. Basically, like pretend like you're going to start punishing him and then offer him Christianity. So they did that. He didn't flinch. He's like, now do it close to his feet. They do that. He didn't flinch. So he says, okay, take him down. Take him down. But bring a huge pot. Bring a huge pot filled with boiling oil. Okay, filled with boiling oil. And then as they brought this pot and they filled it with boiling oil, then he called for other prisoners from amongst the Muslims. Okay, bring this boiling pot of oil and bring other prisoners from the Muslims. فَأَمَرَ بِأَحَدِهِمَا أَنْ يُنْقَى فِيهَا فَأُنْقِيَ فَإِذَا لَحْمُهُ يَتَفَتَّتُ وَإِذَا عِظَامُهُ تَبْدُو عَارِيًا. This is intense, you know. It says, so they brought these other prisoners and they threw them into the boiling oil. To the point that this flesh leaves from the body and the bones become apparent, right? ثم التفت إلى عبد الله بن حذافة ودعاه إلى النصرانية وكان أشد إباء لها من قبل. So then he turns to Abdullah bin Hudhafa and he tells him, become a Christian. You know, you should become a Christian now. He says, and his refusal of it was even more than his refusal from before. It's even more than before. It's even more like, I'm not going to do this, you know? فلما يأس منه أمر به أن يلقى في القدر التي أنقي فيها صاحباه فلما ذهب به دمعت عيناه فقال رجال قيصر لملكهم إنه قد بكى فظن أنه قد جزع وقال ردوه إلي. So he says, finally he says, throw him into the fire now, or throw him into this oil now. So they bring him and they get ready to throw him into the oil, and as they go to do that, they see that he starts to cry. So Caesar's men, they come back to Caesar, they tell him, oh look, he's crying, you know. So Caesar's like, okay, bring him to me. They think like maybe now they startled him a little bit. Bring him to me. This is our chance. So when they brought him in front of him, he came to him again. He said, become a Christian. He refused again. He's like, what is going on here, you know? فَقَالَ وَيْحَكَ فَمَا الَّذِي أَبَكَاكَ إِذَنْ. Said, what is wrong with you? What made you cry then? Like, if this is not, what are you crying for? So Abdullah, he said, أَبْكَانِي أَنِّي قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي تُنْقَى الْآنَ فِي هَذِهِ الْقِدْرِ فَتَذْهَبُ نَفْسُكَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ أَشْتَهِي أَنْ يَكُونَ لِي بِعَدْدِ مَا فِي جَسْدِي مِنْ شَعْرِ أَنْفُسِ فَتُنْقَى كُلُّهَا فِي هَذِهِ الْقِدْرِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, I thought to myself, they were going to throw me into the pot, and I thought to myself, you're going to be thrown into this thing now, and your life is going to end. He's like, and I wish to myself that I had the number of lives as the amount of hairs that I have on my body, so that every single one could be thrown into the oil, one after the next, and all of them can die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's like, what in the world? You know? So, فَقَالَ الطَّاغِيَةِ هَلَّكَ أَن تُقَبِّلَ رَأْسِي وَأُخَلِّي عَنْكَ. So now Caesar changes his method. He says, what do you think? If you kiss my head, then I'll let you go. Imagine after all of this, these people are killed in front of him, all this stuff. And he says, now he's saying to him, what do you think? If you kiss my head, and I'll let you go. So Abdullah, he thought about it, and he said, وَعَنْ جَمِيعَ أَسَارَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَيْضًا. Look at this. He said, and all of the Muslims also, all of the other captives, everyone else who's also taken captive with me, all of them too. He says, and all of them. Caesar agrees. He says, okay, all of them, fine. So Abdullah says, فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي عَدُوٌ. This is amazing. These people were amazing. He says, فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي عَدُوٌ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ أُقَبِّلُ رَأْسَهُ فَيُخَلِّي عَنِّي وَعَنْ أُسَارَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ جَمِيعًا لَا دَيْرَ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَيَّ. He says, so I thought to myself, this is an enemy from the enemies of Allah, who is saying that if I kiss his head, he's going to free me and he's going to free all of the prisoners from the Muslims. He says, I think it's okay. He's not immediately like giving into it even. He's saying, I think it's going to be okay. ثم دنا منه وقبل رأسه فأمر ملك الروم أن يجمع له أسار المسلمين وأن يدفعوهم إليه فدفعوا له. Says so Abdullah came to Caesar and he kissed him on his head, and when he kissed him on his head, then Caesar actually did let him free, and he called all of the captives of the Muslims and he let all of them free also. فقدم عبد الله بن حذافة على عمر بن خطاب رضي الله عنه وأخبره خبره. So now they return to Medina. Umar is like, what is going on? Abdullah comes, all these people come with him. So they come to Medina, and the first thing he does is he meets with Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, and he tells him what happened. فسر به الفاروق أعظم السرور ولما نظر إلى الأسرى قال حق على كل مسلم أن يقبل رأس عبد الله بن حذافة وأنا أبدأ بذلك ثم قام وقبل رأسه. So after he came back and he heard the story, he was very happy about the story. And then he said to all of the people there, he said to them, it's a right upon every Muslim that they kiss the head of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, and I'm the first one who's going to do it. And he stood up and he took his head and he kissed his head. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that's the story of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. رضي الله تعالى عنه. May Allah be pleased with him.